Good evening, everyone. Glad you're with us on this beautiful day. It's been a delight to have the sun shining, the birds chirping, and almost 80 degree weather. And it's been a blessing today. And I'd like to welcome all those out here in Facebook land and out there listening in our parking lot at 88.1 and all those who are here with us in our sanctuary here. We're going to get started off this morning. Before I forget, hopefully, and make a prayer that there's no rain this weekend, but we're having our Easter drive-through, and that's going to be Saturday and Sunday night from 5:30 to 7:30, and make plans to be here. So with that, We're gonna stand and sing number 161, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Sister Nancy, Brother Ken, it's good to see all of you tonight. I know that there's spring break this week, where there's actually more here than I expected, to be honest with you. But I know some were planning to go to Dollywood today, and Dollywood is booked up till next Wednesday. You have to book your place in Dollywood right now. So it's a different time we're living in. But I read just, I guess it was put on the internet about an hour ago, that 25% of all adults in America right now have received the virus. So we're fastly coming to a point to where we're going to have to make a decision. Are we going to live mostly normal, or are we going to let fear continue to reign? But praise God, He's on the throne and He's in control. We're going to talk about God's truth with a capital T, and society's truth with a lowercase t. Amen. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. But we're going to be in the book of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15. But before we go any further, I want to tell all of those that's on Facebook tonight. It's good to have you there. We missed you Sunday. It was out of our hands and out of your hands. But we found out that basically you got the important part. You got the scripture, and that's the most important part of any sermon, is the Word of God, because it changes lives. And if you don't remember anything else as you turn to John 15, remember that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. Again, we'll be in the book of John chapter 15. Not going to do my best. I'm going to do my best not to keep you very long tonight. But it was funny because it was not only our broadcast or streaming or whatever, but I was told that Three Bells and other churches had some of the same issues. And, you know, the devil's called the prince and power of the air. And at this time, he's been given certain authority in certain places. And 99% of the time, Brother Ken and I at least, and sometimes others, we have prayer before service specifically over all of that stuff. I don't know if it's digital airwaves, all that mess, but we put it in God's hands and rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as you're turning to John 15, if you're outside and or by Facebook or in here, we just want you to know it's good to be with you. But do we have any words of praise tonight? Any words of praise and testimony? It is a beautiful day. Thank you, Brother Ken. Brother Johnny?
Yes, I got to go see my granddaughter.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For those of y'all didn't hear it, he was able to go see his grandgirl. And we're thankful for that. Also, if you know, remember, we've been praying for Brother Keith and Sister Henrietta and Miss Glenda and others. Well, praise the Lord, Brother Keith was released from his quarantine today. And he was going to get his second shot, matter of fact, today. So we give God praise for that. We do want to continue to pray for Sister Henrietta and Miss Glenda and others. And from what I have been told from those that's had sort of intense cases of COVID is that it's a longer recovery. You may not still test positive, but the effects on your body, like your breathing and things like that, is pretty difficult. So we want to continue to pray for them. But, you know, I haven't heard of anybody having the flu this year. Nobody had the flu. Thank God. That's a miracle, ain't it? That's a miracle. Everybody had COVID, but nobody had the flu. Praise the Lord for that. Now, that's facetious there. Anybody else got a word of praise or testimony? All right. Just remain seated tonight. This is going to be a very familiar chapter, passage that we're going to read. To be honest with you, I really wanted to go, matter of fact, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon, we were going to be in Proverbs chapter 7, is what the plans were today. The harlot, staying away from the harlot. You remember Solomon writes how he looked through the lattice work of his balcony and saw the young ones led away in ignorance. And going to mention that a little bit. But if I had a title for tonight's message, it would be Reminders from the Last Supper. Reminders from the Last Supper. And I think that it's good for us to continue, like we said Sunday, we should celebrate the resurrection every day of our life. And every day that we wake up as children of God, it is, our life is a celebration of the resurrection. And the day that we don't wake up here, then we'll truly know what it means to celebrate the resurrection in the presence of the resurrected one. And so with trying to remain in the mindset as we still, God willing, Saturday and Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to be having the resurrection drive-through. So continue to invite and have those there. But I'm going to read out of the King James first, and then I'm going to read it out of the Christian Standard. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, it is a beautiful day. And God, it's just been nice to enjoy the sunlight and to feel the cool breeze. Lord, and just to be on your grounds as we, Lord, I know that it's been done many times before, but God, this campus is your campus. And Lord, we want you to do what you will on this campus and with the people that gather here in your name. And so, God, tonight I ask you to forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that you came to save sinners. And God, that I am one of those sinners, but it's in Jesus' name I give you praise. Amen and amen. All right, now I'm going to read it again out of the Christian Standard. And but what I want you to do is there's two words depending on what translation you have. In the King James, I want you to keep up with how many times you read the word abide. And then in my translation, the term or the Christian Standard is going to be remain. In that one. So I want you to count up how many times that word is used, okay? John 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he will remove. He also prunes every branch that does produce fruit, so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken over you. Remain in me, and I in you, just as the branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in them produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, they are thrown aside like a branch and wither. Then they are gathered and thrown into a fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, then ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Now, just to be honest with you, I said I was planning on preaching from an Old Testament passage until about 2 o'clock today, and as I was eating a sandwich, I cut on 91.5, and at 2 o'clock on 91.5 is a program, 30-minute program, and it's called Refresh Her. And it's really kindly aimed at Christian women and to try to help with them. But really and truly, it's good for anybody to listen to. I mean, it is very informational and encouraging. And they were reading from this, and I only got to listen to about 10 or 15 minutes of it, but just to kindly let you know where the thought came from. And the Bible teaches us that everything that is already has been. But so as we talk about tonight, reminders from the upper room, how many times in your translation is the word abide or a form abideth or abides or remain, remaining, remains, or a word that's equal to it? How many times do you find it used in just those eight verses? Seven. Six to seven. Anywhere from six to eight times, depending on the translation that you use. The King James, I counted up seven, I think, that it was there. I missed one, and it was right there in verse four. I missed one in verse four, I think it was there. But then in the Christian Standard, if you remember, it uses the word remain, remaining, or remains. Now, the Greek word for both of those is a simple one. It's M-E-N-O with the long over the final O. Meno or Meno, depending on how it's supposed to be originally said. That's why I spell it to you, because my I'm hooked on phonics, but sometimes my phonics don't work just right, okay? But what it means this, and we don't use the word. The lady I was listening to today, she made a statement that we don't use the word abide very much in our day-to-day conversation. We really don't use the word remain or remaining. We use more of left behind or things like that. But listen what it means. And this is from the Webster's Dictionary the word mano here. And this is from the Dictionary of Biblical Language. Abide or remain means to stay in place, position, or state with expectation for the funeral. Means to stay put and wait for excitedly. To stay put and to wait for excitedly. And this is what got me is that, and if you could tell Sunday, and I talked with someone today that's dealing with a lot of anxiety in their life, a lot of stress, and I think that the time that we're living in is causing a lot of stress. And really, as we look at the resurrection and what led up to the resurrection, I really believe that Jesus Christ knows how we feel if we have an anxiety attack. I believe He knows how it feels as we go through depression and things like that. But when we think about where He's at, this is in the upper room. This is from the book of John. Really, He goes more into the personal aspect of what went on in the upper room. Not just the breaking of the bread and the Passover meal, but John goes more to the point of the relationship that they had with one another. Remember, it's there that we have the record of Jesus washing their feet. And we also see that the disciple whom Jesus loved laid his head over on the breast of Christ Jesus. And there's just that intimacy that's there. But even in that, Jesus is not focusing on what He's going to go through. He puts that all away from Him until He gets into the garden. He is reminding those, think about it, He is fixing to, these are the last few words that Jesus is going to be able to say to His apostles. Those that are fixing to the sheep that will be scattered as the shepherd is struck. And what does He want to make sure? He wants to make sure that the apostles recognize, and so we need to. If we were taught in school that one of the ways that you help learn is repetition of ideas and repetition of words. Why do you think when we're watching like TV and they go sell, 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 and you hear the word sell 100 times in a 30-minute advertisement. Why? Because the repetition of it causes it to stick in your pipe so that you could smoke on it, as my daddy would have said. But he's put it in, and the key word is there, stay positioned in me, but not just stay there, but look forward in expectation. Look forward with excitement because God is doing something. There was something that one of the, Miss Hood was being able to go home this week. And then also I heard that Miss Betty McCorkle, you know, they had called in hospice for her. Well, praise God, hospice has been sent home because she's doing better. And so we give God, God is answering prayers all around us, and we need to make much of those prayers. But He's saying, stay in place. So, As I thought about it today and I listened to her, what does it mean? How do we know that we are abiding in Christ and that He is abiding in us? Well, one, we don't have to worry about Him continuing to abide in us. Because remember over there in the book of Romans, I believe it's in chapter 15, it says that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing, no created thing, praise God, and everything that is created, and that includes you as a human being. You cannot even separate yourself from the love of Christ Jesus. But there are two things here that I think that will help us understand and recognize that we are abiding in Christ Jesus, or that we're remaining, or we're staying put in Him and looking forward to what He's going to do. The first thing is this. Look there in John 15, verse 2. Now, the King James says it like this. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, the idea of a grapevine being purged, I had no clue really what that meant. But now listen to it in the Christian Standard. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he will remove. So, yes, it's a waste. If there's a branch that's not producing fruit, then it's drawing on the vine and just using it up. But notice he goes on to say, he also prunes every branch that does produce fruit so that we will produce more fruit. Now, we all ask the question sometimes, why do bad things happen to good people? Really, more importantly, why do godly people have to go through difficult trials? Right? That's what we ask. Now, how many of you ever did much gardening or anything like that? I never have. Not until I got around here and got to married into some farming family, and then Sister Fleeta and what she does with some of the stuff around here and some of the other ladies. But the idea of pruning is to cut off that which produces on the plant. Webster's puts it like this. This is from 1828. I love the way that he spoke. To lop off or cut off the superfluous branches so that they better bear fruit, grow higher, and give a more handsome appearance. Now, I didn't know what superfluous meant, so I had to look that word up. And what it means is this: to lop off or cut off the unnecessary, extra, and useless branch so that they will bear better fruit, grow taller, and give more of the appearance that the gardener desires. You hear that? When we ask ourselves, why do we have to go through these trials? Think about a pruned plant. Outside the door, there's those orange tulip-looking flowers. I don't know what they are, but they're probably my favorite. Them and the yellow tulip-looking flowers that grow wild around here, and the orange ones, those are my favorite. And so as we were going through cleaning up this year, I went down there, and Sister Fleeta, she had put out them scarecrows, and them things scared the stew out of me. Every time I'd walk by that window, that scarecrow would be standing there. And then they got me again because they had that old cowgirl outside the men's bathroom downstairs. And every time I'd walk out the bathroom, oh, excuse me, ma'am, I'm sorry, when I was walking out of that bathroom. But she said that those plants needed to be cut back. And you know what? When I cut them back as close as I could. And to the untrained eye, many times an unpruned or a pruned plant will look damaged. It will look sickly. Perhaps it will even look that it's dead and that we need to dig it up and give it away. But when the time is right, the plant will not only be beautiful and glorify the vine dresser or the gardener or the father, but it will also bear fruit and be beneficial to others who are around it. Think about it. Those plants, if you look at them now, they're coming back as green as they can, and I'm just waiting on any moment that the buds are going to start to produce and those pretty orange flowers are going to be there. And you can see it where we were 2 or 3 weeks ago, out front here. You can see some of the ones that were cut off, they're beginning to flourish and grow right then. But there's something else about pruning. So when we ask, why is this taken away from me? Why am I having to go through this aspect of my life? Why am I having to do this? All of those, could it be that the vine dresser, our Father, is pruning us and cutting us back so that we will be able to produce more fruit when the time is right, bring glory to Him, and to be beneficial to the others around us? But there's something else that we've got to think about this as well. Sometimes you have plants that are supposed to run. You know what I'm talking about? They're like a kudzu vine or a grapevine or a rose. You know how you try to get a rose to grow up through the lattice work and different things like that, and then the the vine, the grapevine. Daddy, we used to have them, and he had these posts, and he had two strands of wire going through those posts, and he got to where those things would grow around those wires, and it would grow from post to post, you know, each one of those, and it would just be full and in bloom. But you know what? Some of those branches, they don't naturally grow that way. They have to be taught to grow that way. And how do you teach them to do that? You prune them back, and then they begin to grow, and you nurture, and you work with them, and it begins to grow the way that it needs to grow in the eyes of the master. You know what? We, if left to ourselves, we'll grow wild. We'll go what way we want to grow. We'll do what we want to do. So the vine dresser, and think about this. It's the, you're not being cut off to be cast into a fire. You're being cut back so that you'll be more productive and take on the image that the vine dresser, and you'll grow in the manner he desires you to grow and not the way that a wild branch would grow. You see, so when we go through those hard times, even though we don't praise God for the pruning, we can still praise God in the pruning. Amen? Because he's doing something. And that really stood out to me today, that Jesus didn't pull any punches, did he? He didn't say it's going to be hunky-dory and everything's going to be done and everything's going to feel good and you're going to enjoy all of it. No, he says, matter of fact, you're going to be cut back. There's going to be seasons of dryness and seasons of pruning, but there's also going to be seasons of fruitfulness, and that you'll bring glory to the Father through that. So we see that one of the last reminders is that Jesus wants to remind us that pruning is not punishment. Pruning is not punishment, but it is the hand of the vine dresser working in our lives to bring us to what he created us to be. You know, he says in Jeremiah, he said 39:11, he says, I've got an end that I've got in store for you. But to get to that end, we have to grow in the path that he desires us to grow in. Amen? So pruning is not punishment. It is a part of perfecting. Amen? Then the second thing is this. How do we know when we're remaining in Christ? Or how do we know that we're abiding in Christ? Well, the first thing is this. You got to recognize the day that you came to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Believe you me, you don't just trip over being a part of the family of God. You don't just go to bed one night and not be a part and then wake up the next day and like, oh, yep, okay, I'm in the family of God. No, there is a point in your life where you recognize that I'm a sinner, Christ is the Savior, I've broken his rules, and it is in him and him alone that hope of eternity is. And you may not remember the date, you may not remember where the name of the church or whatever, but there's going to be a point in time in your life where there's a before and after. Up to this point, I lived my own life, I did what I wanted to do, I lived the way that I wanted to live. But from that point on, have I been perfect? No. Matter of fact, I've recognized my sinfulness more from that point on, but I've not been the same. Why? Because my life has not been my own, but it's been his. But you know, all of us, we go through those days that we don't feel saved. We go through those days where we feel more like a heathen than we do a saint. We go through those days where we act more like a heathen than we do a saint. But, amen. So how do we know? Look there in verse 7 and 8. If you remain in me, and I think this is the key phrase, and my words remain in you, then ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. You know what he's saying? The pruning is going to help produce fruit, and the fruit is going to prove that you're my disciples. That's what he's saying. But I want you to notice what he says. Here's one of the ways that I believe that we can know that we are abiding or remaining in Christ, and that is because we are abiding or we are remaining in his words. We are abiding or we are remaining in his words. And here's the thing. Think about King Solomon. If we'd have went to Proverbs chapter 7, and that was wrote by King Solomon, what he's going to say is this. He's going to say, my son, don't fall for the cunningness of the seducing woman. Don't let her words lead you astray and down a path of wrong. That is truth. Praise God, that is truth. Because you know what? He goes on, he says, it leads to the ways of death. It'll lead you off track and all that. Solomon knew the words of God. Just like there are many people today that can quote a lot of scripture. Matter of fact, they can probably do it better than many of you and I. They could go to chapter and verse. But notice what? Even though he said all that, Solomon said all that stuff, yet he had 1,000 female relationships. And it was through those relationships that he was led to worship false God. So let me ask you this. Even though he knew the word of God, was he abiding or remaining in the word of God? No, he was not. He was abiding in his own truth, little t. He was doing what he wanted to do. He had the knowledge of God, but he did not apply the word of God into his life. Think about Ravi Zacharias. I loved Ravi Zacharias. He was one of the most profound Christian apologetic speaker that I've ever heard of in my life. He wrote books. He was one of the greatest speakers. In the last year of his life, he spoke about being the person of God in private that we want to be in public. And yet at his death, it was shown that he had taken advantage of many women in ungodly sexual relationships. Now, did he know the truth? Yeah. You know what else? He spoke the truth. Like Solomon, he was able to speak the truth. But what did we find out? Ravi Zacharias was not abiding in the word of God as he wanted us to believe as he was. Does that change the truth he spoke? No. We still read behind Solomon. We still read behind Peter. We still read behind David. Why? Because truth is truth. But what happened? He, as us, instead of allowing and walking in the truth of God or remaining or staying put and looking forward in expectation, he just quoted it. Think about King David, Simon Peter, Jimmy Swaggart, Jim Baker. What happened? They quit abiding in the truth. They knew the truth. They had the truth. And at one time, all of those men that I just mentioned were walking in the truth, but something happened in their life that they quit abiding. Am I saying they lost their salvation? No, I'm not saying that. That's between them and God. And praise God, like we said, nothing could separate us from the love of God. But it is clear that when we say we want to live or abide in Christ, and we want to be that vine, then that means we'll not just simply be able to quote the word, but we will do our best to live out the word in our life. Listen at these. If you've got a pen, jot these down out beside that verses 7 and 8. John chapter 14, verse 10. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Abide in me, and my word abide in you. John 14, 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, they are who love me. And he who loves me will be loved of my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Praise God. If you want to see God working in your life, then every day. If we get up tomorrow with the expectation of catching a glimpse of God somehow, some way, then what we're going to do is we're going to do our best to make sure that we're walking in His Word, because it is in His Word that we'll catch a glimpse of Him. Listen, John 14, 23 through 24. Jesus answered them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Now, one more from Christ's mouth. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, listen, you will abide or remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide or remain in his word. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to bring honor to the Father. How? By living out the Father's truth. And in that, the Father was glorified. We who are Christ-like or as Christians, we're to do that. Now, listen to what the Beloved wrote, the same one who wrote John and the book of Revelation. He also wrote the epistle of 1 John and 2 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And listen, and his commandments are not burdensome, meaning that they're not heavy, they're not difficult, they're not overbearing. And then the last one, and it's not going to have a chapter because 2 John is just one chapter, but 2 John verse 6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandment. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. Amen. Now, notice there in verse 8 and 7, it says, ask, if we're abiding in Christ and we're staying put in his truth, looking forward to what he's going to do, then guess what? We're going to pray differently than we would if we were living for ourselves. Right? We're going to pray more of God's will in our life instead of Brian's wants in my life. That makes sense? When we're abiding in his word, we'll pray more of God's will instead of the individual wants. And notice what he says. Then we'll ask for whatever we want to ask for, and God will grant it, because in it he is glorified. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? And know what? Like I said a while ago, many prayers are being answered all around us. No, I've not got $1 million yet. But precious people, God is giving them extended time with their family. That's a miracle. That is a miracle. And then, not only when we abide in the truth will we know that we are abiding in Christ, but we'll also be able to trump the truth of this world, little t, with the truth of God, big T. There is a truth. And right now, we're going through a lot of things that we've never went through before as individuals and as in the globe, and the future is uncertain. That's the truth. I mean, that is truth. But God's truth, with the big T, capital T, says, I've overcome the world. Right? So we have overcome the world, if we're abiding in Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. Any thoughts on that tonight? Two things as we're continuing to celebrate the resurrection. Pruning is not punishment. It's a perfecting. It's the master vine dresser working to shape us into what he wants us to be. And then also, the way that we can help have certainty of our salvation is by abiding or walking in the truth of Christ Jesus. Amen? All right. Now, we want to go to any other thoughts before we close down. I didn't do much notes because when I do a lot of notes, I don't get to the prayer time. So I do want us to do that again. Like I read today, 25% of the adults in America now have been vaccinated. And as a church, we need to be praying on the next steps of how we're gonna begin to get back into some normalcy and getting back to being able to worship and grow together. I talked with one today with tears in their voice, said, I cannot wait until I can get back with my church family. And I believe people are hungering for the Word of God right now. And I believe God, I think the past two Sundays that we've been able to meet has shown us that God is wanting to do something in our body. Amen. Pray for those that are lost. Pray for the backslidden. Pray for marriages. Pray for those that are depressed, bipolar, all the different sorts of issues that you can have with your emotions and things like that. We want to pray for the Lottie Johnson family. Want to continue to, or excuse me, not Lottie Johnson family, just Sister Lottie. Want to pray for Miss Betty McCorkle, Susie Drawdery, Maggie Statzer, Teresa Holden, Susan Hood. God gave us a good report there. Bridget Barnes, Roger Evans, John Wade, Daryl Hurd, Cindy Osborne, Sister Amy, Shannon Hangs, Laura Evans, Opal and Grayson, Brother Jeff C's mother, Gladys and J.T. Jones, Billy Joe and Sandra Robbins, Rhea Osborne, Sister Lisa Johnson, we got you on here, but it's good to see you tonight. Sister Stephanie's family, the Lesters, Wilma Jacobs, Doris Williams family, Jessica Adams, Sister Lillian Baldwin and her family, Miss Priscilla, Ethan Bowen, Paul Storier, and Thomas, Susie Hill, Dustin and Cynthia Pearson, and the baby. Want to continue to pray for Carol Carter, Sister Emily Ward, Alicia Hill, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Sister Catherine Ward. Her husband came through his surgery well on Monday. We give God the praise for that. And brother, who was the one that you mentioned? Miss Carter's Brad, was that his name?
Brad Williams.
And that's well, yeah, basically he was on vacation in Arizona and ended up having an internal bleed and lost a lot of blood and had to have emergency surgery, and they are still giving him blood, but it seems that he is out of the worst of it now. We give God praise for that. Sister Pansy, we're thankful that she's healing. We'll continue to pray for her. Mr. Bobby Lee, Miss Henrietta, Bradley Bowen, Bill Eads, that's my friend in Hancock who's battling cancer. We've got to be in Knoxville tomorrow morning at 7:15 for a CT scan, so just be praying for him. And Daisy Richards, Nick Roten, Dakota McQueen, Sandy Knight, Daniel Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Mr. Pippin, Sabrina and Lance Stollard, Brother Tommy and Sister Alma, Haley Webb, Frank and Mary Garrett, Brother Sean and Sister Don Garinetti, Carol Dishner, Greg Bartlett, Barb Koch, Darlene Porter, Courtney Hall, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Sister Jeanette Carter, Linda Jordan, Jerry Flannery, David Starnes, Jesse Bull, Sister Pam Savarsky, Jim Lamb, Nicholas Patrick, Tony Bard, that's a friend of Brother Roy and Sister Phyllis's, and she's having surgery this week. Miss Wilma and Mr. Don Daniels, Mary Snodgrass, Sister Cecilia and Frank Pennington, Brother Jay and Sister Ruby Keck, also that family as they are dealing with the loss of Brother Jay's brother Voight, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, Mary, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis, Miss Liza, Sister Margaret, and Brother Chet, Miss Helen, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John, and Carmine Shute, and then also Miss Betty Young. This is Sister Wilma Daniels' sister, and she's been put in a nursing home in Middlesboro, but is having some positive responses there, so we want to continue to pray for that. Any other prayer needs? Yes. He had the ENT, didn't he? He was going to the ENT doctor, I think. Anyone else? I want to read off these, the first names of those that we call out in prayer on Tuesday mornings. Josh, Sharon, Richie, Michael, Jared, Donald, Bethany, Frank, Keith, Robert, Sandra, Tom, Donald, Lisa and daughter, Danny, Brenda, Glenn, Sarah, Leonard, Elijah, John, Polly and Neil, Will and Mickey, Cooper, Haley, Gary, Melissa, Demarius, Nathan, Mila, Daniel, Nathaniel, Steve, Fred, Robert, Laura, Victoria, Chastity, Tina, Rocky, Samuel and Sam, Kristen and Tim, Ron, Dwight, Glenda, Galen, Farrell, Teresa, Field, Devin, Kenny and Jean, Lisa, Mickey, Justin, Dina, John, Cheyenne, Larry, Jane, BV and family, Thelma, Rita, Claudia, Mike, Mary Lou, Florence, Letitia, Dennis, James, Drayden, Barbara, Barry, Bud, Henry, Lee, Ashley, Scott, Jalen, Michael, Isaac, Kayla, Rhonda, James and Michael, Mike, Joey, Gracie, David, Pauline, Chad, Misty, Ron, Greg, Lila, Brooke, Madeline, Bonnie, Jeremy, Lita, Justin, Eric, Matt, Bobby, Michael, Thea, Lavella, Diane, Josh, Madison, Sydney, Austin, Jordan, Bavina, Sheridan, Brady, Gabe, Kelly, Ashton, Trista, Richie, Taylor, Austin, Jeff, Brady, Gerald, Terry, Kane, Tony, Lynette, Darnett, Brian, Diane, Rick, Charles, Carol, Gail, Richard, William, Wilma, Irma Lee, Shane, Caleb, Cody, Christopher, Jason, Clarence, Chuck's mother and sister, Terry, Rick, Evan, Daniel, Rebecca, baby, Hunter, Tim, Becky, Kenny, and wife, Aaron, Talmadge, JC, Bridget, David, Felicia, Robert, Bill, Bobby, Leah, Millard, Leonard, Melinda, Tom, and Sharon. And then why do we pray? Because we're taught to pray for the salvation of those around us. And so we hold fast to the scriptures, Romans 10:1 and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. But are there any other prayer needs? I'm going to ask if Brother Gary Bledsoe, would you come and lead us in prayer over these and also over the weekend, the drive through we're having. But I want to call out, before we do, as Brother Gary's coming, I just want to call out, and one, I want to say thank you to God for these men, but also the devil's attacking some of them, and that's Brother Otis, Brother K. Jesse, Brother Paul Arwood, Brother Frank Pennington, Brother Ken Flannery, Brother Scott Carter, Brother J.C. Starnes, Brother Keith Roach, Brother John Franklin, and Brother Roy Baker. God has given us good men to lead us, and they've done a wonderful job through the COVID, and they've put on a good face through all of this, but the devil's battling, and a lot of it is emotional, so we want to pray for them. Any other prayer need as Brother Gary comes to lead us in a word of prayer? Brother Gary.
Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before you once again, Lord, just so very thankful for this place of worship, for the time that we have together, for the freedom that we have. And Father, may we not take it for granted, but always mindful, oh God, that we can come before a loving and merciful and gracious God that knows our every need, and that when our hearts are hurting for others, Lord, that we know that you already know them. And Father, we pray for each one, Lord. We pray for their health, their spiritual needs. And Father, we just ask that you touch each one, and may they feel your loving arms around them. And Father, just heal them according to your will. And Father, we pray that as we do gathered together here, Lord, that we will ever be mindful, and Lord, and celebrate our resurrected Lord. And even though that Easter has already passed, each day, Lord, should be Easter in our hearts. And Father, we pray that that we as a people, Lord, that will be faithful to, as we do go out and to a lost and dying world, Lord, that we will be ever faithful to share the joy that we have in our hearts, that our Lord and Savior that gave his life on Calvary's tree, and Lord, just to, that he would not only give his life, but won the victory at the resurrection, that the tomb is empty, and that he even now is seated at your right hand, O God, and that he intercedes for us. So, Father, we share that with all those that we come in contact with, and may we be faithful, even as You, O God, have been faithful to us. Yes. For we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
God bless you.